Hello all, welcome to Up the podcast made by the fans, for the fans. Grab yourself a drink, put your feet up and listen in. And by the way, there could be some strong language.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Wembley again. Welcome to Up the Poshcast. We are recording after our win over Hollywood, Disney FC, Wrexham FC on penalties. We're going to recap all the drama of last night. I can't wait. It's going to be a happy podcast, which is a big change from what has come before it this season. This evening, we've got Ash, we've got Dell, we've got Lods, and we've got me, John. We're all going to celebrate our way to Wembley, and we can't wait for April the 13th. Ashley, before we start talking about Wembley, though, what happened last night? Run us through the game. What were your thoughts?
Well, you know, we've discussed this. We did a live earlier, so I'm going to go back over things again because it was just that great. And Shannon's already had a pop at me for watching the highlights 40 times today since I got home from work. What more can I complain about? I think it was probably 24 hours ago that we were getting back into the car. And it still hasn't really quite hit home in terms of what actually happened last night. We were 2-0 down against a team that we've not scored a goal against this season on the 70th minute of that game. The season was just an absolute write-off at that point, wasn't it? I am just absolutely astounded. Fantastic ball from Sissoko to put Kean Hayes through. And I think that that's been one thing that's really concerned me in the games that we played Wrexham previously, is that we'd not tested the keeper, because I know that Wrexham fans adore him, but I really don't think that he's all that. I don't think that he's anything special. I think that if you put him under pressure, he crumbles. And that penalty that he conceded showed that. He had absolutely no right to go for that ball. And Kean Hayes isn't the fastest player on the pitch. I actually don't know what he was thinking. So fair play to Kean Hayes for winning that penalty. Fair play to Sissoko. And then fair play to Malik Mothersill as well, I think. And I will talk on Malik Mothersill a little bit later on. But, you know, that's a pressure moment at 2-0 down to take that penalty. And yes, he missed it. But he did what's happened to us multiple times this season. And he followed it up and he made sure the ball hit the back of the net. He made sure that he was the first one there, or that he was at least impacting the ball to put it back towards the goal. And then look, you can't ask for anything better, can you? I discussed with multiple people. I think that's probably the most that I've ever celebrated a goal. Brad scoring in the 91st minute of a bloody virtue trophy game. Like, it's not meant to mean anything, this competition. Everybody says that it doesn't mean everything. They say that because they're just sore losers. I'm absolutely sick to death of all these Wrexham fans. They're absolutely gutted. I know that it's right deep down in their heart. They're absolutely seething that little old shitty Peterborough United, who are in danger of going down this season to League Two, and they've just fluffed their lines for their big day out at Wembley. They can pansy on about how they've been there four times and they've not had great results. They are all absolutely gutted. I know it. And the petty little insults that have all started to come out, that, oh, we've done it. We've done it in the league. We're happy with the 6 points. Fuck off the lot of you. You're all gutted. I know it. And you look at the honest ones. Look, there are some honest Wrexham fans, and I don't want to tar them all with the same brush. Like, there's some of the guys on the local pundit. We had some great banter last night. I jumped in with them in their post-match review whilst I was stood waiting for the players to come out. And some of the other guys on Twitter, you can see that they were gutted. But any Wrexham fans that says that they're not gutted to miss out on that day out at Wembley against Birmingham is just a categorical liar. And I won't have it any other way.
Do you know what? Before I talk about the game, is there anything more satisfying than going to a fucking away game in a semi-final? Because it seems that we're always away in a semi-final. And just watching their faces turn from cheer to fucking despair. It is great. Especially the big fucking bloke in front of us, the one with the blue top on, giving it all this. And at the end, he's like, oh, it's fucking, I love it. I fucking love it. You know, but fuck him. In a nutshell, fuck Wrexham. Fuck him. We beat him fair and square. And you know what? Obviously, we have done the live pod and we might keep repeating that. I'm sorry. Well, no, we make no apologies for that. But I said earlier that we played very well. I thought we played Well, we didn't deserve to go behind. I think we was the best team in the first half. Well, the best team over the 90 minutes, if I'm honest. But we went behind. And then, obviously, 2-0 down, you think, now, fuck's sake. Oh, well, it is what it is. You know, at least we'll, well, not at least anything, but it'll be a journey home. It'll be a longer journey home because what could have been? And then obviously, at 2-1, it's like, you know, we've got a fucking chance here. And it was like, it felt good. They, you know, and then at the end, it normally happens against us, doesn't it? It's normally the fucking, you know, we're getting a result and all of a sudden, fucking hell, only 4 minutes of injury time. You know what I mean? As soon as that went up, it's like, oh, fuck it. You know, it ain't going to happen. Barry's right when he says, when it's against us, we don't get fuck all time. But when it is going for us, they get 20 minutes fucking injury time. But, you know, for Brad to be as composed as what he was, you know, to finish that ball, because it wasn't an easy finish. I know he got the lucky ricochet, but he still had to, like, take it past fucking mates, lick it in the, put it in the back of the net, 2-2. But, you know, the best thing about that, and I did say it earlier, is the background music or background song to him scoring that goal was "Que Sera, Sera, Wherever We'll Be, We'll Be, We're Going to Wembley," being sung by the fucking Wrexham fans as a Peterborough player equalises. It was fucking poetic justice. It was lovely. And then the penalties, great. You know, fair, right, fair enough. Mother still missed his. Don't give a fuck. You know, he scored the goal, as Ash alluded to. You know, it was a pressure moment. He'd done that. Didn't have the best games last night, to be fair. But, you know, he'd done what he had to do. Scored a first penalty. But then, you know, a couple of decent saves by Jed. And I didn't realise until today when I've been reading some social media, apparently Jed was like about fucking 6 foot off his line, saving some of these penalties. Fucking don't care. Whoops-a-daisy, it happens. So, yeah, Wrexham fans were complaining that the penalty should be retaken. Mate, I don't think so, because that was last night. We can't go back in time. The game's done. We're going to Wembley. You fucking ain't. Unlucky. Find another fucking fairy tale end to your documentary. But no, great night. Really excited. And who don't like going to Wembley, right? Even you, John. Don't fucking tell me you're not be going to Wembley.
Oh, I will be going to Wembley.
Of course you will now, you little fucking glory. I know I'm not going to any games, but I'll go to Wembley because it's my team at Wembley. Love it, mate. Fucking love it. Get in there. Fuck the league. Don't give a shit. We're Peterborough United. We go to Wembley. Two things about that. You know, everyone was saying, oh, we're not going to go to Wembley because we'll lose to fucking Birmingham. You know, let's lose at Wrexham. Fuck that. We beat Wrexham. Nobody expected to. So there's two things when we get to Wembley. One, we'll either keep our unbeaten run going and it'll be 6 out of 6, or we'll get beat and then we can finish this fucking shit song, "Never Lost at Wembley, Clap Your Hands." Either way, win, fucking win. Anyway, I'll have a little slurp of my tea and I'll let someone else have a little speech.
Yeah, look, Dale's called me out on it as being a bit of a virtue trophy hater. But what I did love about last night is it's the first time I felt pride in a Peterborough United performance, probably all season. I can't think of too many more. Maybe the Cambridge game at home, actually. But certainly in 2025, that was the first time I looked at Posh and I thought, wow, I watched Peterborough. I watched us have 70% possession. I watched us have 17 shots. It's exactly what I've been calling for. It's exactly what I wanted. We were 2-0 down at half time and I was going, yeah, I'm so much more encouraged by what I'm seeing than what I've seen for the last 3 months. And that is because we played Peterborough United ball. And even though it didn't look like it was going to be successful, that's all I've been asking for and why it's made me so miserable and depressed watching us at 3 p.m. every Saturday. This is what I want. This is exactly the football. The Huddersfield and the Wrexham game, and it's still not sparkling. It's still not amazing, but this is Peterborough United. And I was just so pleased for them last night. I know we said on the pod earlier this squad didn't deserve to go to Wembley almost because of what they've served up, but last night, they truly did deserve it. They didn't give up. They kept battling right until the end when they could have gone under at 2-0 down when, you know, it was one of those games where we were probably having the better of it and we conceded two cheap goals again. And it would have been very easy for them to let their heads drop, but they didn't. They kept fighting and they kept showing that Posh spirit that we've seen before and that we are famed for. We do score goals. We do come back. And we did last night. And I just thought it was great. I thought seeing Dornelli and Mills, who for me were the two best players on the pitch, both from our academy, both young lads, and the stones on Harley Mills to step up and rocket that penalty into the top of the net. And, you know, we talk about youth and experience and how we needed more experience. And we have clearly lacked the experience. But that penalty, look, who was the most experienced player on the pitch? Paul Mullin, that Cambridge twat, stepped up, missed. Unlucky, son. Get back down to League Two. Get back down to non-league where you belong. I'm so happy that we did it. I'm looking forward to Wembley now. It's going to be another special day. I'm so happy that all of you fans that went to Wrexham that have sat through some of this dross got to see what you saw last night. I'm so happy for Ash that, you know, that goal he celebrated more than ever before. It feels like a moment that we've needed this season. It feels like a moment a lot of you that have kept going every week have deserved to witness. And yeah, just for the first time this season, I think I can truly say I'm proud to be posh today.
Yeah, I didn't go to the Blackpool semi last season, but I remember seeing the pictures and the videos at full time, and I was gutted to not be there. I was a bit jealous. And that was a team that, you know, were absolutely flying at the time. And you're quite right, John, this season, we just haven't had any moments like that this season at all. But I didn't want to take the risk and not go to Wrexham just in case it happened and we got the win, and we did. And it was really enjoyable from minute one. And it's interesting you say about us going 2-0 down at half time. We clapped the players off the pitch at half time, even though they were 2-0 down. And I think there's been so many moments this season where we go 2-0 down and we're just toxic as a fan base. We're booing them, we're jeering every time they make a successful pass. And there was just absolutely none of that yesterday at all. And we did feel in control from minute one. We were just absolutely going for it. And they were really bad, weren't they? They didn't even try and attack us at any point. It felt like, I mean, their goals were both lucky goals, especially that first one. It was just one long ball and poor Oscar Vaughan switched off again, didn't he? And Jed was off his line because he wasn't prepared for it either. But apart from like those couple of moments, it really didn't feel like they were going for it at all. And the two fullbacks are the players that I want to mention. Like you have, John. Harley Mills was just absolutely going for everything. He was attacking every ball that we didn't have in possession. Every time he got the ball, he was trying to go forward with it, either running or playing the ball forward. I don't understand why we don't talk about Harley Mills as much as we do some of the other younger players, because I think he's probably one of the biggest prospects we've got in the squad right now. And it feels like he's never sort of mentioned in Dara's podcast or anything like that. And it's really interesting comparing his and Dornelli's time this season, because they've both had sort of a similar upbringing at Posh, where they've come from the academy. They both play fullback in a team where the fullbacks are essentially attacking players, aren't they, in possession. Dornelli's been thrown in at the deep end. He's had probably too much game time. He's made a lot of mistakes this season and put in some really subpar performances, which I think we're all in agreement isn't his fault. But he's had some time out of the team and he's come back in, and the times he's played recently, he's been absolutely excellent. Fergie said before the game that he knows what's expected of him. And he was playing this role where he was sort of inverting in possession, and he was really overloading that midfield. And we were saying the other week about how the midfield just, we needed that third option, but the number 10 just wasn't quite working. Perhaps we found something here where Dornelli can tuck inside, or one of the other fullbacks maybe when Johnson's playing, just to give us that extra man in midfield. But Harley Mills on the other side, the one difference that I'd say between Mills and Dornelli is Dornelli's probably not as much of a risk taker as what Mills is. He's very cautious. And I don't know if that is because Mills hasn't been chucked in at the deep end. He's not made the same mistakes that Dornelli has. He's probably had a better introduction into the first team than what Dornelli has. And yeah, he just absolutely epitomizes Posh and the academy. And I honestly think he could probably be, his breakout season is next season. He could probably have a season similar to what Burrows did. He's got a great opportunity where Adebisi's supposedly going to be our first choice left back, but we don't know what sort of player is going to come back from injury there. He might just not play. And Idun, as it stands, isn't playing for us next season because he's only contracted to the summer. So Mills has this great opportunity where he can nail that left back position down. Likewise, Dornelli with the right back position. But I think the trajectory that Mills is on over the last few games he's played has been absolutely fantastic.
You're right, mate. You're right. I was saying this earlier about both of the fullbacks. I thought Harley Mills was very good. So much that I actually had him as my man of the match. But then Dornelli was also very good for two different reasons. There's exactly what you said there, Lods. Dornelli was more cautious. Could it be that, you know, because of the mistakes, he's a little bit more cautious? Whereas Harley Mills was, fuck it, as you're saying, just giving it large. It with no fear. You know, look at when we had a free kick. You know, he wanted it, you know. Whereas I don't think Dornelli would have been in that situation. And then his fucking crossing was, I thought, was very, very good. And his penalty, kudos to them, you know, the youngsters. And a lot of pressure on that. But going back to Wrexham, you know, they were saying, oh, it's our fucking third squad, our third team out. Fuck you, right? Bullshit. It was a reasonably strong team. It might not have been your first team, but that team out there would have beat most teams in the first division. You know, you're fucking with your Mullin. All right. He's been banging the goals in. Stephen Fletcher, fucking Elliot Lee. Fuck off, man. Just fuck off. You know, you lost. You lost. You didn't win. You lost. All right. It wasn't even a fucking draw. You lost the tie. It's a bollocks job. All right. I'm not having any of this shit that it was their second fucking string. Well, we just said that about our defence. Do you know what I mean? They're not the first fucking names on the team sheet. It's what we had to play. We had no choice. We had to play them. Lucky enough, it worked out well. But when you look at all the stats, every fucking stat was in Peterborough's favour. Possession, shots off target, fucking corners, just everything. You know, tackles won, headers won, fucking passes. Wrexham were shit. Do you know what I mean? No shit. And they got two lucky goals that went ahead. So, do you know, I was proper proud last night to be from Peterborough. Well, no, I'm not from Peterborough, but I'm proper proud to support Peterborough because it's fucking excellent. But, you know, some of the other performances I thought was very good as well. Suso, fuck, you know, him, number 20, very good. You know, some of his passing was outstanding. And, you know, Collins was a bit off the mark. Kipriano was steady, but, mate, overall, fuck, you know, we're just... Obviously, I'm struggling to say the names today because I'm a little bit excited. That's my excuse tonight, right? Not that I fucking don't know who plays for us, but joking apart, it was it's one of them games where you really enjoyed being a Peterborough fan. And going back to celebrations, you know, Ash said that it's probably one of the most he's celebrated. I haven't celebrated for fucking getting a goal or going through for I don't know how long. You know, even at Blackpool last year, I was celebrating, but nothing like last night. Last night, if you'd listened to the live pod, fuck me, the quick story that because we had to sit two rows behind the front. So the first two rows had to be clear of seats, all right? Had to be clear because where we were last year or January, the front bit was full of Wrexham. And the reason we had to sit back is because if we threw something, it would hit them. Not that it would make any fucking difference. But anyway, so I've tried fucking jumping over the seats to get to the front barrier where there's like a lump of glass or whatever. To, oh, if I can give it large. And I've stood on the seat and the fucking seat just collapsed, you know. So I fucking fell forward. I'm nearly headbutting the stand. And I honestly, mate, it's fucking carnage. But I'm still like trying to give it large and hurt my ankle, broke the fucking seat. Sorry about that. But, you know, I don't normally get that fucking excited. And it was a virtue fucking trophy game. So, yeah, it does mean something. But anyway, let's get back to the game. Decent performance all round. There's no player that had a really shit game. You could say that Ricky J. Jones had a, you know, not particularly great game. But Brad, when he come on, fuck me. I thought he was superb. I really liked Brad. So there we go. What's other people's views?
Look, I tweeted yesterday at 2-0 that when Mullin, Elliot Lee and Stephen Fletcher came on, I honestly thought that we were fucked. I thought that was game over. I had little to no confidence in the team. But they've done it, haven't they? And we bang on about this experience. We bang on about how Wrexham ultimately schooled us in the league. But last night we finally showed Wrexham what Peterborough United is all about. And that's the performance that we've been missing. Like John said, all season, that was Peterborough United. And it was so good to finally see it in the flesh, just there. Like, and no, they've got it. And that these two here, they've had their fair share of grief from me this season. But they were both fantastic. And Kyprianou definitely deserves some praise over the last few games. He's really stepped it up a level since, let's say, Bristol Rovers. And he's really taken that mantle on. And look, I do think that Steer probably would admit that his positioning was poor for the first goal. But, you know, he has turned himself into a bit of a penalty specialist. He won Aston Villa a penalty shootout against West Brom, didn't he, years back, to take them to the playoff final. And Kyprianou's then put the winning penalty into the back of the net. And ultimately, you take a snapshot. What happened in the game, once it goes to penalties, doesn't really matter. It's all about the penalty shootout. And for Jed Steer to have saved two penalties, there was obviously loads of people on Twitter saying, why have we not put Bilo on? Jed Steer's shown that. And what a fantastic penalty shootout it was for Jed Steer. I think that Wrexham took four penalties, didn't they? He dived the right way for three of them. So 75% success rate. The Wrexham keeper didn't have that for the posh penalties. But I do think that it's about time that, yeah, definitely these two get some credit, because you do need experience. You do need some leaders on the pitch. And yes, I am a big Bila Kapic fan. There's no denying that. But it's clear to see that the defence has a little bit more confidence in the communication that Steer provides. And it's great to see that Kyprianou's finally pulled his finger out of his arse and is starting to get somewhere where he was like last season.
Yeah, I don't think Kyprianou's had a bad game since the window shut, has it? Which, I mean, it's very frustrating that we went all of that time with him putting in half-hearted performances. But now, obviously, is the time to put in some good performances, get us out of the rut and hopefully win the Virtue Trophy at Wembley. His midfield partner yesterday, Archie Collins, obviously, I'm normally a massive fan of him. I want to just praise Fergie for that substitution he made, because I don't think Collins had a bad game, but he was slowing down the tempo big time yesterday. Every time he got the ball, it wasn't going forward as fast as it normally does. And we have seen him play that way before. I think at the start of the season, when we were crying out for a bit more tempo, I actually thought he was one of the only ones that was playing with that fast tempo that we're normally used to. But I don't know what it was yesterday. It just wasn't working. And actually, if you think back to the last few games, he probably has been a bit below his normal performances. And I wonder if this system change has probably had a negative impact on him. He's used to playing with a number 10 in front of him. He's always got that out ball, whether it's Conclark or Randall, whereas now he hasn't got that. And there was times where he was telling Motherseal to stop dropping deep and running forward. And I think he wants to play those long balls forward for the players to run onto. And it just wasn't happening. It hasn't happened for the last few games. And bringing Sissoko on and seeing him play, he was excellent, wasn't he, in that second half. And it's a real selection headache for Fergie now, because Kyprianou is obviously in really good form and he's the captain. Collins, who Fergie claimed was undroppable and gave a 7 out of 10 performance every week, is now looking likely that he's probably going to lose his space to Sissoko. It's a difficult one, because you're going to have to drop one of the good players here, but I wouldn't want to risk dropping this form that we've got and this attacking intent that we're playing with. But perhaps he does need to drop Collins and go with Sissoko, who, by the way, if we can get him next season, what a great signing that will be. I know Man City fans were aware of him before he came to us and were raving about him. So perhaps them dropping him off for another season in League One's probably a bit ambitious for us. But Jesus, what a player he is.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm at the point of drop Archie Collins just yet, Lods. But Sissoko, I tell you what, the boy can pass a ball, can't he? That raking pass that he's got, that he sprays from inside his own half, sort of inside the fullback to a winger, he's just so good at it. He's done it at Lincoln away now, Charlton away, where he set up that Lingering chance, And then obviously last night for the penalty where he just played that long ball and split the defence. It's really hard skill to do. And he makes it look very easy. His passing range is, yeah, one of the best in the squad. I think you can clearly see that. And what a shame we haven't had him fit all season, because we have, look, I don't want to use this as a stick to beat De Havilland or O'Brien Brady with at this stage at all. And I don't mean it in this way, but we have three real good options in that central midfield now. And you can see the quality that he brings to the team more than like what we've had previously. And that passing range is, it's hard to leave out when you start to think, do we drop Collins or Kyprianou? I think there's a genuine debate around it. I'm probably not at the point where you are, Lods, but I'm also very much, I think that's a fair belief if you think Mohamedou Sissoko should be starting now. I think he's certainly putting a claim in to do that. The other sub I just want to talk about is Bradley Ivonian. What a guy. What a guy. Just an agent of chaos. I am rapidly falling in love with Big Bad Brad. He is something very different almost to some other posh strikers that we've had. He's quite raw. He's not as that, I don't think he's that refined, but then he has moments of just like, okay, you've got a bit of skill. You've got a bit of ability to go with that power. You saw his goal against Gillingham, and that was kind of like, I remember when Tomlin came on and it was, I think it was his debut. I think it might have been Bristol Rovers all these years ago. And he hit this shot from like 25 yards and it flew over the bar. But everyone went, fucking hell, like, where's that come from? And that goal against Gillingham with Brad reminded me of that. And then every time he's getting on the pitch now, I'm like, I am liking what I'm seeing a lot from you. He runs the legs of defenders. He's strong. He's technically looks pretty good. He took it. His goal in the last minute is actually, it looks like a tap-in, but the touch to take it around the defender and then sort of slot it around the keeper. A lot of strikers were snatched at that. You put Ricky there, and this is, again, not a stick to beat Ricky with. I don't know that he does what Brad does. I really don't. I think he might skew the shot or something like that. I think he probably is our starting striker at this point, or at least he deserves a shot at it. I think I'm really like what I see. He looks a handful, and look, the recruitment has been terrible last summer, but that signing there might just turn out to be the best of the bunch in terms of the future and what we're looking at. I know it's an early claim because we haven't seen that much of him. I don't want to go overboard, but there is a lot of promise in that. That, yeah, I'm quite excited with what we're seeing with Brad, and I really would like him to get sort of 5 or 6 games now. And I'm really happy for him that he got that. And the another thing I like about him is he's got that character. I've said it about Mothersill, where he sort of bigs himself up on social media and look, it's not worked out for Mothersill. But I like Brad's, you know, sticking his finger up at the crowd and bye, bye, bye on Instagram and all this. It's good. I like seeing that side of him. He's a bit of a troll. He's a bit of a shithouse. And Posh have lacked a bit of that character and personality. And yeah, keep doing what you're doing, Brad, because I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, look, from one troll and shithouse to another troll and a shithouse. Big Brad, I fucking love you. And the other thing that I fucking loved was how passionate and emotional the interview that he did with Ewan on Posh Plus was. And you could see that it really meant something to be involved in that team and involved in that squad and involved in something that was important to the football club and important to the fans. He's clearly had a rough time. Obviously, he came on at Gillingham and drilled one in, which was probably one of the better goals that we've seen this season. And then he sort of just disappeared, didn't he? And, you know, two games, two really good Brad performances. And it's just nice to see that, especially when these players are now being interviewed, that they're being given a chance to express themselves and show who they are. Just through some of the really good open questions that they're being given. And it's always nice to see players' personalities. We don't want to see them put down a tunnel. I don't want to see players put down. I don't want to see them being thrown under the bus, which maybe has happened in the past. Malik Mothersill, you give that as the prime example. I'm absolutely gutted for him last night. You could see how relieved he was when Posh won that penalty shootout. He didn't run off with the team. He didn't run off with the squad. He was just relieved. And as he walked out of the players section last night towards the bus, you could see that he was gutted. And Malik Mothersill is a confidence player. And I think that he's lacking that confidence. And last night probably didn't help at all. It was ultimately he's come out, and that's another thing. It's great to see all of the players out on their socials, sharing all of their highlights from yesterday. That's what I want to see. I want them all to have the confidence. I don't want to come here, like John said, I don't want to come here and slag them off every week. Like it feels like we can get past that now. And ultimately they do need our support. And I'm hoping that definitely us as a podcast, we can support them. And we can just help just drag them back to where they are. And I think that Malik Mothersill is someone that probably needs some support at the moment. And I'm more than happy to offer that. I just hope that when we return to home against Shrewsbury, the fans offer that as well.
I think you make a really good point on Malik, actually, because he portrays himself to be this sort of like uber confident, nothing affects him sort of, I like the haters, bring it on. But actually, I thought what was telling last night is when he actually missed the penalty, his second penalty in the shootout, he changed his run-up. And that, to me, shows a striker, actually, that does have maybe a lack of confidence. It wasn't, okay, I think he's scored every penalty that he's taken in his professional career, taking that sort of stuttered run-up and sending the keeper the wrong way. And the keeper saved it in normal time. And then in the shootout, he didn't do his stutter. He didn't do the same technique that he's done all throughout his career that sort of served him this well. And that, for me, just showed a little bit of, I don't know, maybe he just thought, oh, I'm going to change it to catch the keeper off guard. But to me, it felt like maybe there is a little bit of self-doubt there. Maybe he is a 20-year-old lad that's suffering a bit, that's had to delete his own Twitter because Posh fans are on his back. And I've said throughout the season, I don't think Mothersill deserves it. And he's playing in an unfamiliar role now. He's still being an attacking threat. He's still scoring goals. Yet, I think as a number 10, it's kind of exposing his passing a little bit. Maybe he does need to refine a little bit in terms of his link-up play. But what he does do is he constantly shows for the ball. And what I've always said about Mothersill is he's always there. He's always accountable. He always stands up and demands possession off his teammates. And he always feels to me like he is the one of the players that has, throughout this season, however badly it's gone, he's put in 100% effort. And I really hope the fact that he missed a couple of penalties last night doesn't knock his confidence, because there is a real good player in there. And one of my priorities this summer and from now, and please give the boy a new contract, because I really do think there's a player in there and I want to see him flourish at Peterborough United.
Yeah, I really like Malik as well, and I'm desperate that we give him a new contract. I think he's fallen. Unfortunately, his position's been moved around the pitch, hasn't he? He started off as a striker. We moved him to the left wing. No one really knows what he's good at and what he does. He's not really held down a position, and now he's playing this strange role in a front two where he's the deep striker that's trying to link play. And it's a compliment to him, because I think out of all the strikers we've got, he probably is the most technically gifted. So if you did want one of the strikers to drop back and link up play, you do want it to be him. But as you said, John, he's not done a very good job on it, which is unfortunate for him. And another thing as well is Darra's on his podcast that dug him out. He said about how he always misses sitters. And where you talk about confidence, that things like that obviously can't help the poor guy. I've just actually looked to see when he played for Chelsea under 21s, when he absolutely smashed us at London Road before we signed him, whether he was playing as a front two or not. And he was up front by himself. So I actually don't think he's ever played up front in a front two before. I think these last few games have been the first time he's ever played as a front two. So, yeah, I agree. I hope we give him the time. I hope we give him the benefit of the doubt. And I hope he takes the confidence of, we're giving him this opportunity to play different roles because of the technical ability that he has. Not necessarily that we can't find a home for him. Despite us having about 10 strikers on the books, we were counting them on the way back from Wrexham yesterday. I think, how many did we count? Actually, was it 8 or 9 of them on the books that we've got? Obviously, Ricky won't be here next season, but he's got Lindgren to fight with, he's got Brad to fight with, and then this new 16-year-old that Darragh said is going to be in the first team next season. So it's going to be tough for him, but I do hope that he is given the opportunity up front to show what he can do.
I think it's imperative that we're talking about players and we're giving them credit for improving or motivation, whatever. We are very good at criticising players, no doubt about it. And we will do. And we will do it, you know, whether it be Saturday, next week, next season, whatever. We will continue to criticise players. It's always right as well that we give the players a kudos. So we're not going to be an arse-licking fucking podcast. We're not going to be a fucking negative one all the way through. I think we're going to be factual like we always are. So on that point, we have done nothing but slay Odu all season, pretty much, because he has been pretty fucking shit. Let's not beat about the bush. He hasn't been very good. But kudos is a word I've just used for the last couple of games, because I actually think he has been very good. You know, he's improved. And we're starting to see a little bit more that we thought we was going to see during the pre-season and during the friendlies. But yeah, so while we're on it, let's give a couple of players a few more bits of kudos. Odo, great couple of games. And, you know, he done well for us yesterday as well. So fair play, you know, fair play. And we will always, always say what we feel, whether it's good, bad or indifferent, you know. And it's down to the players and whatever to either take note or ignore us, whatever. But we're opinions, agree or disagree with us. But now, fair play to Odo, keep it going.
Yeah, Del, I think you're right with Odo. And I think that maybe there is an element of pressure there. In the when we signed him, he came out and was, this is a direct Ephraim Mason-Clark replacement. This is an Ephraim Mason-Clark that for the first half of last season was fantastic. And yes, he dropped off once he came back to us on loan, but he was still putting in performances. And it does slowly feel like Abraham Odo is getting to that point. And I think that now the only thing that he's sort of missing is that cutting in and shooting on sight that Ephraim Mason-Clark used to do. It looks like he's got the confidence with the ball at his feet. He's got the confidence to run at defenders. And it's starting to look like defenders are scared, knowing that he could go either way and potentially sit them down on their ass, which is always a relief. I think that the only thing that is now missing that's really going to take Odo to that next level is obviously the shooting. And then, yeah, look, I think that there's probably only one more player that really deserves some credit. He only did one thing, but that one thing was a massive thing. To come on with, let's say, 30 seconds left, probably, I don't think he actually did touch the ball, Ryan de Havilland, knowing that your sole job is to put the ball in the back of the net and your first touch of the ball is when Steer passes it over to you, and to bury that penalty, that keeper could have dived the right way. He wasn't saving that. That was right in the corner. It tucked so perfectly in. And actually, just whilst we're on that, I think that obviously England, when we watch England, when we talk penalty shootouts, obviously England haven't been fantastic on those. And I don't want to go off on that tangent. But Gareth Southgate said that they made sure that everybody was paired up. I just wanted to give another bit of credit to Jed Steer. And the ownership that he took on that penalty shootout is that he collected every ball. He went over. And I think that that's where this picture is that he's put the ball on the spot. He's collected it for Kyprianou and he's gone over and he's just said, right, look, he's probably said something like, look, this is your moment now. Yeah. And yeah, Lodz are just put in the comments is that he ran over to Kintana. Like the ball was practically in front of the benches, I think, when it got missed. And he went out of his way to encourage them as a team. And that's what you want from the 31-year-old in your team or the 32-year-old. That really was good. But back to Ryan de Havilland. The absolute bollocks to just come on and you've got one job, put the ball in the back of the net, and he's done it. And I do really think that that does deserve praise from all of us, ultimately, because, you know, it could have gone completely wrong. I think we've seen it before, where we've potentially brought on players and they've missed penalties in penalty shootouts. But last night, it was the fruits came true or bear true.
Yeah, I really need to just jump in on that because I gave him a 10 for one kick of the ball because I'm pretty sure he didn't touch it. I actually said to Lodz, because there's some uncertainty about whether it's going to extra time or penalties. And I, As soon as I saw De Havilland about to come on in a 90th minute, I said to you, Loz, didn't I? Fuck me, it's gone to penalties. He's only coming on to take the penalty. And yeah, as you just said as well, Ash, there's been some big players come on over the years to take the penalty. You know, I can think of Noble, Mark Noble at West Ham. You know, fuck me, did he ever miss a penalty? It was one of these that, like, he was so consistent. He come on to take a penalty to whatever, make history. He bottled it. He fucking missed it. So the pressure that De Havilland was under, because he was rusty, didn't have a feel of the pitch, didn't know if his studs was going to slip or the pressure of the ball or whatnot, to come on and do that one fucking touch of the ball and score the way he did is why I give him a 10. Yeah, I know you could all say, oh, fuck it, he didn't do anything else. No, he didn't. But he done exactly what he was fucking asked and told to do. So, yeah, that's why I'm justifying it. But, you know, that is some serious fucking cooners to do that, because even now, no foot of the game, he's had none of this, none of that. One kick and it had to count, and it did. So, doff me out to you, mate. Superb.
I think that is Wrexham wrapped up. So we will move on. And we'll move on to Shrewsbury, which at the end of such a positive week now feels, I mean, it felt a big game before. Now it feels like you might just have a pin waiting for this balloon that's sort of just floating, this Peterborough United balloon, and it's ready to just, if we lose this, it's going to be back to all of us being negative again. But let's hope we are not going to lose. And the other bit of good news is we potentially have a little man called Kwame Poku back in business for this match. So, Ash, twofold question. Is this a must-win for Posh in terms of our survival chances? And are you starting Poku?
I think we probably need four wins for the rest of the season, and that will guarantee us our safety. Now, that does need to be Shrewsbury, it needs to be Cambridge, it needs to be Crawley, and it needs to be Northampton. They're the four games that, when I went on to the local pundit, Paddy highlighted as the games that were going to assure our safety. And I think that we have to start that. 3 points at Huddersfield means nothing if we don't follow it up with 3 points against Shrewsbury. It's the first time that we've played at home since Cheltenham. It's the first time that we've played at home on a Saturday in what feels like weeks, ultimately. And it's going to be a bumper crowd. I think that there's every chance that we see a home section sell out for Saturday, which, quite frankly, would be absolutely unreal. And yes, it's a grassroots day. Yes, the tickets are discounted, but you've still got to convince people to go. And convincing people to come and see the 20th worst team in the division is not always the easiest sell. So I really hope that these players put on a performance. I'm stuck on Kwame Poku, though, John, if I'm being honest with you. I'm not sure risk is the right word. If he wasn't ready, then obviously the conversation would be that he'll wait another game, or he'll maybe travel up to Blackpool and that'll be where we'll see him. I think that I'd like to ease him in with 30 minutes of football, though. That is a pre-planned sub. Hayes starts the game and then Poku comes on with 30 minutes to go so that he can ease his way back into it. Because yes, you can have training. Yes, you can have like the 21s games. I don't think he has played in any 21s games. You can have 11v11s between the squad, but nothing matches like real football against what is ultimately going to be a big, ugly, physical Gareth Ainsworth team. And it's going to be a challenge. But I think that the most important thing for Posh on Saturday is that we score the first goal. Just like against Cambridge, if we score the first goal, we'll go and get two, we'll go and get three. The issue comes if we don't score the first goal. Look, we know that Gareth Ainsworth teams can hold on to leads. They've done it this season, haven't they? I think that they've beaten Birmingham. I'm sure that they've had results against Wrexham as well. So that's definitely two of the better teams in this division, aren't they? I'm not concerned, though. I think I can finally feel some confidence. Like, even when we think about the defence, for example, Dornelli's going to start still, Walling's going to start still, or potentially it's going to be Manny. But Sam Hughes is going to come in and Teo Adun's going to come back in, and they're just going to shore things up a little bit, where we maybe were a little bit leaky last night. We don't concede those goals last night if Sam Hughes is on the pitch, do we, ultimately? I think that they will solidify us at the back. I think that I do think that Archie Collins is going to get dropped and that we see Susoho and Kipriani as our starting two, and then the front four probably stays the same, as I don't think that Brad is quite there to play the 60 to 70 minute game. I think that he's fantastic for 45, but we don't want to be making a substitution at halftime to bring on a different striker. But, you know, it's an exciting time to be a Posh fan again. And yes, we're right down at the bottom of the table. Everybody won last weekend, so we didn't really gain anything, but it meant that we stayed ahead, and now's the time to start pulling away. And we've obviously got some massive games in the month of March, is the easiest way to put it. Let's go out and win two or three games in March and pull ourselves away from the relegation zone.
Yeah, this game against Shrewsbury is far bigger than the semi-final at Wrexham. You can't really dress it up any other way. I wouldn't even go as far as saying this is a six-pointer. I think the gap between us and Shrewsbury is too big. I don't think there is a risk that we go down still. I've maintained that even throughout our poor form. But this game, if we don't win, is going to be such a momentum killer. We've had some really good performances, some really good results recently. The spirit's high. We've just confirmed another trip to Wembley. Like Ashley said, we're going to be playing in front of a crowd that's almost going to be a sellout or a sellout. This is a really, really good opportunity to put in a Peterborough United performance, get that feel-good factor back again and carry that momentum in. And Kwame Poku coming back will be such a lift to everyone, to the fans, to the players. But I agree with Ashley. I think it's too soon for him to start. And it's actually going to be a shame when he comes back, because we've obviously found this winning formation finally, the 4-4-1-1 or 4-4-2 or 4-2-4. Some players just don't fit in it. Like Chris Conn-Clark's not going to get a shoe in now, is he? Because there is no role in this that suits him. We've already spoke about one of the midfield three missing out, and we're not going to have two left-footed wingers on. So it will be Kieran Hayes that loses his place to Kwame Poku, and it will be a shame because he's been really, really good during this run. But like I said, Kwame Poku coming back will be such a massive lift. So I'm hoping he gets a good opportunity to play 10, 15, 20 minutes. But if we're not in a cruising position, I don't think we should risk it. I think we should just carry on playing the same way. Fergie's got that trick up his sleeve where he can switch the wingers and throw an extra big man up top, either with Brad or Manny. So I wouldn't want to risk that. But if we're struggling in the game, I think we just do that again. And I agree with Ashley as well. I don't think Bradley starting is the answer just yet. At Huddersfield, he was proper blowing. Did he come on at half-time against Huddersfield? He definitely didn't play. He definitely didn't start. Him playing that short of a time and blowing before the 90th minute isn't a good sign. I do love Brad, but I think probably too soon for a start for him as well.
I agree with a lot of what you just said, Lods. I would start Brad here. I'm not sure Ricky's done quite enough at this stage, and I feel like it's a game where Brad could thrive. They're going to sit in. They're going to be big, physical, powerful. We've seen Ricky in those sort of games, and sometimes it can be found a little bit wanting when the space isn't there behind the defence for him to run into. And I almost would rather have him, look, if Brad's not fit enough to last 90 minutes, give me 60 and then give me a fresh Ricky J. Jones for 30 minutes just to run at them when they're knackered. I don't think that's a bad plan for me. I do. Look, my red flags are waving quite a lot here, because I've seen two really good Posh performances in terms of style of play, in terms of momentum building performances over the past week. Everything feels a lot more buoyant about the club. It feels like we're in such a better place than we were 7 days ago, even. The transformation around the place and just like the general attitude of the fans and the players after last night's celebration just seems completely transformed. But, and there is a but, Ferguson's record against Ainsworth is not strong. I don't know the exact figures, but we have struggled against his Wickham teams regularly. And this Shrewsbury team isn't as good as Wickham teams, but they've still got the potential to be a little bit of an awkward one if things start going wrong. I don't think they're going to be easy to break down. I think they're going to be a resolute test. They might not have amazing firepower, but we can't allow them to score the cheap goals like we kind of did with Wrexham last night if we're going to play like this. So it needs to be back to that Huddersfield standard where we didn't let them have a shot on target. We need to be really focused at the back and just not give them a sniff at all. I'm with you on Poku, I think. I would love him to start. And if he is fit enough and the club are very confident, and I don't know, maybe he's played a couple of behind closed doors games, I would be starting him because he's our best player. But I don't think he's probably there in terms of match fitness yet. So I would use him as a sub. I think that boost, even if we're 1-0 down, of him coming on will lift the stadium. People will start believing again anyway. So it's a good sub to have in hand. I just really hope we win. If we win, there's a potential that we're 5 points clear of the drop zone come, 5 p.m. on Saturday. And then an away game at Blackpool, which feels like we've got half a chance of winning as well on the back of, 3 wins on the bounce. So it does, this game really does have the feel of a game which can shape our season, because you know if we lose this, the doom mongers are back. It's going to feel bad. We could, I think, be in the relegation zone by full time because a lot of the bottom teams are playing each other. And I just want us to continue riding this wave. If we produce the performance of the levels we have over the last, 4 days, the last 2 performances, we will be fine. We will stay up. We cannot let standard slip again. So please don't, Posh.
No, we've got to, the last 2 performances have showed that we can actually fight, you know, and we've just got to go out that same mindset on both Saturday and Tuesday. We have a good Saturday and Tuesday. You know, we're halfway there, I think, if we're honest. But one thing that is for sure is there's some decisions to be made over players who's going to play on Saturday. You know, there's potentially, you've got Gustav back. You've potentially got Katonga available. You know, you're saying about CJ being about potentially available. So we come into a stage where some of the injuries are like healing up and we're having to pick players rather than just play players because that's all we've got. So, you know, this is where Fergie earns his money. We're starting to get a few players. Let's see what we need to do. But hopefully the last 2 games have given us a confidence to, like, you know what? We can get out of this shit that we've got ourselves into, you know, and this could be the best week of the season. I can't remember who I've heard it. It might have even been Fergie himself saying this week could be our defining week of the season. Which will be good, you know. A win at Huddersfield, getting through at Wrexham against the Welsh, so we can have a full English EFL Trophy final, which is always good. I did do it earlier. I'll do it again up the England. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see who he does pick, because you know some of them put their names into the ring to be picked out. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping it's going to be a good game. It's going to be a tough game because we always know that watching a Gareth Ainsworth fucking team is always shit. I just don't like him. Bully. But, you know, to be fair, it's the sort of player that we always used to like back in the old days. But for this day and age, it's obviously moved on. So lots of players available potentially and some decisions to be made. So what will be, we're still going to Wembley, and let's see what happens on Saturday.
Prediction time. Del, I'm going straight back to you. What's the score going to be?
Oh, fuck it, out straight in there. Right, before I go on to what the score will be, I don't know if anybody noticed or listened to the pod, but I predicted 2-2 for the Wrexham game. I also predicted Peterborough to win on penalties. Does anybody remember that? Yeah. So I'm on a bit of a fucking roll. And those odds were 19-1 if anybody put a bet on. So, you know, if you did, you're more than welcome. So based on that and the fact that, you know, I am fucking God when it comes to predictions at the moment, I'm going to go for 3-1 to Peterborough. 3-1.
Right. I think I'm back. I'm feeling confident, lads. I think we're going to school Shrewsbury back on home turf. Be rude not to predict us to score at least 5 goals, wouldn't it? Kwame Poku hat-trick. Only takes a second to score a goal. And he's going to have 30 minutes hopefully on Saturday. He's going to bag a hat trick on his return. I'm so confident of it. Are we going to concede, though? No, we're not. 5-0, up the fucking posh. We're staying up, and we're going to beat Birmingham in the Virtue Trophy final.
I don't think we're going to concede either. Or if we do, I think it will be a late consolation goal. I agree with Ashley. I think we're just going to dominate here. I think we're going to play to the crowd. We're going to have that feel-good atmosphere. I will go for a more reserved 3-0 win. So, yeah, either 3-0 or 4-1, because I can't have 3-1 because Dell's already gone for it.
I love it. The confidence just comes flooding back after what's been a terrible season. I am a little bit more reserved. I always feel like I'm a little bit more reserved with these predictions than the other guys. I'm getting some wanker signs from Ashley for being like this. But this is just me. I have seen 30-odd games of this now, and I still need a little bit more convincing to think we're back to being Peterborough of old. I do think we'll win, though, so that's good. I think we're going to win 2-0. I think it could be quite scrappy again. I think getting that first goal is key, and then hopefully we can open them up in the second half, use our pace, get behind their back line, which is pretty old and cumbersome and not great quality. And a bit like the away game, scored twice late on. A repeat of that would be lovely, 4-1. But I will take 2-0. I think 2-0 looks likely, and that will move us away from the relegation zone and seal what has undoubtedly been our best week of the season so far, if we can do that. So let's all hope it's another positive up the podcast when we return next week. One last thing to say, Wembley again. Ole, ole, up the podcast.
Up the podcast.
Up the podcast.
Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Up the Poshcast. Let us know your feedback. Give us any ideas for topics you would like to discuss or any questions you'd like us to answer. Up the Poshcast. Fucking have it.